Now more with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome back. It is my great privilege to say we are joined by John Guandolo, a man I've come to admire greatly. We don't always agree, but I nonetheless appreciate enormously his courage and his service to our country in a variety of capacities, starting in uniform. He was a graduate of the Naval Academy, joined the Special Force Recon in the United States Marine Corps, its Special Forces units. He went on to become the CO of the FBI's SWAT team, and then began a career as a counterterrorism expert, including as a special agent specializing in that matter for the FBI. He is these days the founder and president of Understanding the Threat, an important organization making a real contribution to the counter-jihad. We'll talk a bit more about it in a moment. John Guandolo, it's great to have you back. Thanks so much for joining me.
Thanks so much for having me, Frank, as always.
Well, I'd like to begin with a story that seems like it's deja vu all over again. It involves a man that I've come to admire greatly. He's appeared on our program a lot. He is Patrick Dunleavy. I think you know about his story, John, but share with our listeners what's going on at the hands of a group called the Council on American Islamic Relations to Mr. Dunleavy.
Well, what's amazing is CARE, which is a Hamas organization. So you have a terrorist organization, suit-wearing jihadis, if you will, petitioning the Pentagon to drop Mr. Dunleavy as an instructor, and he's a contracted instructor. And instead of telling Hamas to pound sand because we don't take advice as a U.S. government from terrorist organizations or terrorist leaders, the lieutenant general in charge capitulated and ordered a review of the program. And what's interesting is the first two chaplains, Waleed Habash being the first, but the first two chaplains, Muslim chaplains that they assigned to actually do the review, they had to punt because of their ties to numerous jihadi organizations, jihadi mosques, and Habash himself was a graduate of JISIS, the Graduate School of Islamic and Social Sciences in Herndon, Virginia, which is a Muslim Brotherhood front. So now they're on the hunt for someone in the Muslim chaplain program to actually be able to review this program, which I find interesting, since the Muslim chaplain program in the DOD was founded by a convicted al-Qaeda financier, Abdurrahman al-Amoudi. But
the larger question that arises from all of this, of course, is what on earth are those kinds of people doing as chaplains in the United States military? I gather that al-Amoudi was also responsible for putting them into the prison system, which is the subject of much of Dunleavy's work on jihad in jail. Help us sort this out, John. This doesn't make any sense at all.
Well, first of all, the certifying authorities for the Bureau of Prisons and the Department of Defense for Muslim chaplains has historically been the Islamic Society of North America, the largest Islamic organization in North America, which is, per evidence, in the largest terrorism financing and Hamas trial ever successfully prosecuted in American history. The U.S. versus Holy Land Foundation, adjudicated in Dallas in 2008. The evidence demonstrated that ISNA is a Muslim Brotherhood organization, the largest in North America, and JISIS, the Graduate School of Islamic and Social Sciences. Those are the two certifying authorities for the Bureau of Prisons and the Department of Defense. So you have a Hamas Muslim Brotherhood front calling for a review, and then Muslim Brotherhood operatives doing the review.
It's downright mind-boggling, in fact, if the Muslim Brotherhood is a problem. And I'm told that there are people inside not just the Obama administration, but the Trump administration, who believe that the Brotherhood is it's a social welfare organization, not a threat, and that, if anything, it is an important counterweight to the violent jihadists, or, if you will, violent extremists that we are confronting. What's your response to that, John Guandolo?
I think anybody that says that the Muslim Brotherhood is not a jihadi organization that seeks the destruction of the United States and the West is ignorant of the facts on the table. The Muslim Brotherhood's own bylaws, in the first substantive sentence in its bylaws, says it's an international Islamic organization which seeks to establish Allah's law in the land, and that it is to fight, they are to fight the enemies and tyrants of Allah to establish an Islamic state. The Muslim Brotherhood has the exact same stated objectives as ISIS, Al-Qaeda, Boko Haram, Abu Sayyaf, and all the other terrorist organizations on the planet. So that's just, we could just stop right there.
Yeah. Should it, if all of that is true, and I believe it to be true as well, should it be the case, John Guandolo, that the Muslim Brotherhood should be designated as a terrorist organization and removed from any responsibilities of the kinds you've just described in the chaplain corps and the prison system, and for that matter, its ability to run influence operations in our government and against other of our society's civil institutions?
Absolutely, they should be designated, and the evidence is already on the table to indict the most prominent Islamic organizations in the United States for being a part of the Muslim Brotherhood and conspiring to overthrow the federal government, which is a federal crime, among other crimes that they're guilty of.
So this raises a question, because a lot of people listening to this who have not done the kind of serious scholarly and investigative work on the Muslim Brotherhood that you have done, John Guandolo, might try to write this off as just some sort of conspiracy theory. I know there's a concerted effort being made to deprecate a document that was introduced into that trial, the Holy Land Foundation trial, called the Explanatory Memorandum, that has been described as a sort of secret plan of the Muslim Brotherhood for exactly the kind of stealthy jihad you've described. How would you respond to those kinds of criticisms?
Well, first of all, we have evidence on the table that of the broader Muslim Brotherhood objectives through, like, as I mentioned, their bylaws. The Holy Land Foundation trial didn't rely on the explanatory memorandum to prove its case. It was a 15-year FBI investigation that spanned numerous countries and across the United States, major investigative highlights, one of which was a massive one, the finding of the Muslim Brotherhood archives in Annandale, Virginia in 2004 at the home of a senior Muslim Brotherhood Hamas operative. But there were others, the Philadelphia meeting, there was a financial investigations. There's the investigations into other organizations that were tied to Hamas leaders, the overseas investigation with our allies. So to say that it all hinges on one document is to be wrong.
And John, very quickly, talk about what you are doing with your organization, Understanding the Threat, to try to address this phenomenon that my colleague and I, Claire Lopez, who's helped you in some of your training programs, call the phenomenon of See No Sharia.
Well, Understanding the Threat is a national security consulting organization, and we provide from the national level down to the local level threat consultation with leaders, organizations, and citizens. But our flagship operation is the three-day Understanding and Investigating the Jihadi Network, which is for law enforcement, National Guard, intelligence professionals, and others. And we have a president of the National Sheriff Association wrote us a letter that I think highlights who we are, and that is we're the only organization in America which is giving law enforcement the tools to proactively find jihadis, map out the jihadi network, and we're the only organization giving state and local officials strategies to dismantle the networks. And I'm proud to say we work with a number of your people. Yes, Claire participates, but also the individuals in your organization that work with state legislators to bring legislation, and we make that all a part of the comprehensive strategy working with Center for Security Policy.
We appreciate the work that you're doing tremendously, John Guandolo, and I believe that what Patrick Dunleavy has experienced, you have experienced as well, and it's tremendously important that both of you be able to continue getting past this See No Sharia phenomenon and ensure that our law enforcement, our first lines of defense, are equipped to protect us against this enemy within the Muslim Brotherhood. Next up, Russ Dallin joins us with an update on Venezuela. What's happening there, what it means for you, straight ahead.
to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.